Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Help me and all that I am. Show me the stairway I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, just teach me to take one day at a time, one day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time.
Welcome to another Bible lesson presented by the Hamilton Church of Christ. In 1 Peter 2, verse 13, we read, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake." This scripture is simply saying that we are to obey the laws of the land. The only exception to this would be laws that might be contrary to God's will, which are very, very rare. So the Christian is going to be among the best in the whole land so far as being obedient to the laws. He will cause the government the least amount of problems because he is a law-abiding person. That's the Lord's will for us. Won't you join us today in our Bible study?
God needed someone to lead his children out of Egypt's land. He looked around and he found the one. Moses was the man. Moses was the man. God said to Israel, "You are free, don't stay here anymore." And Moses said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go. Let my people go." Then Moses led them out of Egypt, led them through the sea. When Pharaoh tried to follow, God said, "This could not be." Oh, Moses led God's children through the desert sand. He led them away from Pharaoh, on to the promised land, on to the promised land. Oh, Pharaoh tried and he tried again to hold God's mighty hand. At last God sent in plagues to him and all of Egypt land, all of Egypt land. The people followed Moses, yes, they followed his command. He led them through the wilderness, through the burning sand, through the burning sand. Yes, Moses led them out of Egypt, led them through the sea. When Pharaoh tried to follow, God said, "This could not be." Oh, Moses. Moses led God's children through the desert sun. He led them away from Pharaoh, on to the promised land, 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 on to the promised land.
We are continuing our study in the book of Genesis. We're now in the 24th chapter, and our study today begins at the 10th verse. The setting for this passage is that Abraham has now decided that it's time for Isaac to have a wife. And of course, I'm sure this is Isaac's decision also. Isaac is about 40 years old. Abraham is about 140 years old. And it's time for Isaac to start a family. And of course, to do this, he has to have a wife. But not just any wife. He must have a wife that's going to be qualified to really not only to be an acceptable person as a wife, but also be qualified to be the head, along with him, of this great family that's going to be the chosen people. So Abraham is called his eldest servant, the one that has the most authority and the one he can probably put the most trust in, the one with the most experience, and he's given this eldest servant a charge. Not only was it not to get a wife from the Canaanites, but he tells them in verse 4 of this 24th chapter, "But thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." So it was to be a woman who was of the household of Abraham's family. She was to be those that would be kin to his family. Those are the ones that would know the true and living God. Those are the ones that would be qualified to do what this woman had to do. And the servant was further told to not take Isaac there. Isaac couldn't leave Canaan and go over there. The servant had to do it with Isaac being absent. And Abraham actually had the servant to take an oath that he would not take his son there again, but that he would find the appropriate woman to bring back. So we begin our reading in the 10th verse of this 24th chapter. I'd like to read verses 10 through verse 14. "And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia under the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also, let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." The first thing we see here is that the servant set about to do the job that Abraham had laid out for him to do. The servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, that is 10 of Abraham's camels, and departed. And it says that for all the goods of his master were in his hands. So he had the things that he needed. He was going to have some money. He would have to have presents for the bride-to-be. He would have to have the provisions needed for this long journey. This is about a 500-mile journey. It would take at least some 4 weeks to make this journey. We're talking about a month traveling here just to get there. And we learn later that he had other men with him, probably to act as guards and assistants. And so it's quite a little entourage that we have going here. And then the Bible says, "And he arose and went to Mesopotamia into the city of Nahor." So nothing is really said about the journey, about any dangers or problems they may have had. And no doubt they had some real problems on a journey like this. It took time. It took a lot of effort. Simply he arose and went to Mesopotamia under the city of Nahor. The servant's name is not even given here. Isaac, of course, was the person to be honored. Isaac was the one who was really seeking after the wife, but the servant was faithful. Proverbs 27:18 says, "Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof,
so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. So here was a man that really deserved honor because he was a faithful servant to Abraham. And, of course, Abraham knew that or he would not have sent him. So he arose and went to Mesopotamia. That's the area where Abraham's family was. The word Mesopotamia means between the two rivers. And it's commonly thought this is between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. And it probably was, although it may have been the Euphrates and another river, but it's that area generally between these two rivers, and under the city of Nahor. The city of Nahor was named after Abraham's brother Nahor. He quite possibly founded this city, and it seemed that he was living here now with his family. It had been some 60 years since Abraham had left this area to come to Canaan, and the brother was old also, like Abraham was. As he gets into the vicinity of this city of Nahor, verse 11 says, "And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water." Here's the place where he thought he would be most likely to meet the woman that he needed to meet, by the well in the evening when the women go out to draw water. Now, he was looking for a woman that would have special qualifications. He wants his master's wife to be humble and industrious, a woman that was raised and trained to care and labor, willing to put her hand to any work that needed to be done, and that she might be of a courteous disposition, that she might be charitable and hospitable to strangers. When he came to seek a wife for his master, he didn't go to the playhouse, he didn't go to the park, he didn't go someplace where women were living a life of debauchery, but he went to the well of water, expecting to find one there that would be industrious and willing to do some kind of work. And so this is the place he came, to the well of water, to the proper place to look for the wife. You know, today when we're looking for a wife or a husband, we do well to look for them in the church. We do well to look for them in some place where they're going to be industrious and employed in something that's going to be a godly type of work. It's not going to be well to go look for a wife in some place where they're committing sin, in some place where they're leading a life that is immoral, in some place where they are getting away from the teaching of God instead of closer to the teaching of God. That's not the place to look. The place to look is for the person that's going to have the kind of qualities that you want, the place that will draw them to that place. The servant made the camels to kneel down by this well of water, to kneel down so they could rest and evidently so they could drink. And not only did the camels kneel down, though, but the servant also kneeled down, and he began to pray. And it was very appropriate for him to pray. In Proverbs 3, verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." God is the one that we look to for help. We pray to God for big things. We pray to God for small things. All things are within God's grasp to have control of. And so it's very appropriate to pray to God, certainly in a matter like this, and be very inappropriate not to pray. So this servant was a godly person, and he kneels down to pray, and he said in verse 12, "O Lord God of my master Abraham." Now he's praying to the same God that Abraham would pray to. This is the God of Abraham. This is the God of his master, and certainly his God also. And it's a fascinating thing to us today. When we pray, we are praying to the same God. We're praying to the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the same God, the God who created all things, the God who set all this into motion, and the God who is behind this great plan for the Messiah to come to save his people. So, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Of course, the servant was working for the well-being of Abraham, which would be for the well-being of Isaac. He wanted things to go well for Abraham. And so when it went well for the servant, they would also go well for Abraham because their purpose was one and the same. So he could pray, show kindness to my master Abraham. To find the appropriate woman to be the wife for Isaac would be a kindness to Abraham. One of the most unkind things that could happen in any family is to have someone to marry a person who is not going to be a good marriage companion. Marry a person who's going to wreck the home. Marry a person who will not fulfill this most basic of all social, that of having a good home, a Christian. And so this was kind of stuff. If he could find, he says, send me good say, or give me the swiftness to bring this thing about. Verse 13 says, behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. This is the place they would come to get water in the evening time. Not the lazy women, not the women who weren't of good health, not the women who were not taking care of their families, not the women who were off converting around in some kind of debauchery, but the women who would come to draw the water, who would be the women who would be going about the business of the day. He says, let it come to pass, verse 14, that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. So here's what the servant asked for. He's asking for some specific things. We may think, well, this is putting too much on God to limit God to these real specifics. But no, the man had done everything up to now that was to be done. He'd made the journey. He'd made the preparation. He'd gone to the right place. And so now he's asking God to give him some specific help. If God didn't want to do it this way, okay, it wouldn't be done this way. But this is what the man's asking for here. And it's an example to us today that we can pray to God for specifics. We can pray to God for particulars. And if God, of course, doesn't want us to have those, then we don't want to have them. But there is no reason why not that we can let all of our thoughts be made known to God if they're proper thoughts. And that's what the servant's doing here. This is the plan he devised, and he wanted asking God to help this come about. When I asked the damsel to let down her pitcher that I may drink, I want her to say, drink, but then to also voluntarily offer to give the camels drink also. Now, it was too much to ask a damsel to water the 10 camels. He wouldn't do that. But if she would at least offer to do it, he would know that her heart was in the right place. He would know that here's an industrious person willing to help, but it would also be the signal that he needed to show him that this is the right person. So she would offer to give the camels drink also. He said, when the woman does that, let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. This woman, this appropriate woman to be Isaac's wife, would actually be a gift from God. Proverbs 19:14 says, houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. That's where we go to look for the prudent wife. Let's have the Lord to guide us and direct us. Let's be doing things that are consistent with what the Lord wants us to do when we find our wife. And the same is true when the woman finds her husband. So he says, let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. Here's a woman that the Lord had appointed for the servant Isaac. Here's a woman that was fitted for what Isaac needed. And it was a matter of finding her now. Then he says, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. That's the signal I want. That's the sign I want to tell me that I've come to the right place and found the right person. In this prayer, the servant makes a specific request. He makes a request that probably would not come about without the Lord's definite intervention. And it's appropriate for him to pray this way. He'd done all the things that need to be done up to this point. And so today, if we similarly meet the conditions, we can similarly expect specific answers to a definite prayer. It's appropriate for us to pray to God the things that we want, and it's then up to God to determine if we should have those or not. And now let us read verses 15 through 27 of this 24th chapter of Genesis. And it came to pass, before we had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well, and filled her pitcher, and came up. As the servant ran to meet her, and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher, she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted, and let down her pitcher upon her hand, and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekel weight of gold, and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor." She said moreover unto him, "We have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in." And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." No doubt Abraham's servant thought, it's going to be a long time before I find someone who's going to come out here, an appropriate woman to draw water, and who's going to give me water when I ask it of her, and who's going to also offer water my camels. It's going to be hard to find someone like that. I'm going to be in for a good wait, waiting for that kind of a person. But the Bible says it came to pass before he had done speaking, before he'd finished his prayer even, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher on her shoulder. This girl was actually the granddaughter of Abraham's brother, Nahor. And the reason she would be the correct age for Abraham's son Isaac is because Isaac was born after Abraham was 100 years old. I mean, had Abraham had Isaac at an earlier age, he would have been too old for this girl. But now he's the right age for her. But how amazing that she came so soon, even while he was still praying. Isaiah 65:24 says, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they're yet speaking, I will hear." That certainly is the case here with Abraham's servant. And in verse 16, we learn that the damsel was very fair to look upon. She was an attractive girl. She could have been someone not very attractive at all, but met all the other qualifications, but been pretty homely, but not so. Very fair to look upon. And there's something about her that let the servant know that she was a virgin, or maybe we editorially know she was a virgin. Never had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. This tells a lot about Rebekah's character. The daily duty of drawing water for the family was hardly an enjoyable activity for the young girls of the town. It was a hard, necessary chore. It got to be really boresome after days and days and months and years of doing this. And probably some of them would lag behind or wait as long as they could before they had to be made to go get the water. Parents of that maybe have to force them to go, and this is not true of Rebekah. She was the first one there, and when the servant saw her coming immediately after he had risen from prayer, his heart had to be very joyful. This was quite a surprise to him. Here she is, the first one out, the one he seems to be looking for. She was exceedingly fair to look upon. He ran to apply the test that he proposed to the Lord. She hasted to give him a drink of water, as he asked. And as he was drinking, she looked up beyond him and saw his camels. She may be a girl who had a lot of love for animals, as many young people today love horses. Camels would be the ones that they would love in those days. And so she couldn't help but observe that they were dusty and tired. They'd had a long journey, and they were thirsty. And though it would be a long, hard task, as she climbed up and down the stairs to the well many times and carried this heavy pitcher of water to water these camels, nevertheless, she immediately insisted on drawing water for his camels. And so verse 20 says, "And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not." So here the servant now had an opportunity while she was watering the camel to think about this situation, to look at all the possibilities here, look this girl over. And he wondered, is this going to be the answer? Is this going to be the payoff for my journey? Has this been a prosperous journey or not, seeing how well things have gone? And it came to pass, verse 24, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and 2 braces for her hands of 10 shekel weight of gold. So he's going to pay her. Now, this golden earring is really not an earring. It's a nose ring. King James has the wrong translation. And so the nose ring and 2 bracelets. So the woman is helping the servant, but she gets paid well for it. God always pays us in return for the work that we do. We can't outgive God. And yet she is helping the man by letting him see that she's the one he's looking for. So he's been well paid. And this nose ring and bracelet are just minor things to him to pay her with. So everybody comes out winner here. And we see here that the servant didn't expect her to work for nothing, so he pays her for the work that she does. And verse 23 says, "And he said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" So he's rather presumptuous here as he asks her about being able to lodge in the father's house. But the girl has had a chance to look him over too, and she sees that he's no doubt a godly person, and they can trust him, and she feels good toward him. And so here again we have a mutual understanding. And verse 24 says, "And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare to Nahor." So she tells him who she is. And the servant knows real fast, this just has to be the right girl. This is the granddaughter of Abraham's brother. This is the one I'm looking for. And so he has to be very pleased, very thrilled to learn who this girl is. And it's just not just a coincidence that she's the one that came out here first. This has to be the work of God bringing this about. This is the one God wanted him to meet. This is the right person. And so he is having a successful mission. So we close our lesson at that point. Next time, Lord willing, we'll begin with this 25th verse. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.
Down here the burden's heavy, and the road is rough and long. Sometimes my feet get weary, and so. Step on heaven's shore, and I won't have to worry anymore. I won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. All my troubles will be over, and I rest forevermore. My heart be on Jesus, and my heart will be aglow, and I won't have to worry anymore. I won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. All my troubles will be over, and I'll rest forevermore. My eyes will be on Jesus, and my heart will be aglow, and I won't have to worry anymore, and I won't have to worry
anymore. Violated the law that has been given by God in the written form, the law of Moses. And so the question comes up then in the mind of the Jew, if that be the case, if both Jew and Gentile are equally in need of the gospel salvation, then what advantage hath the Jew? That's what he asks in the first verse of this third chapter. Or what profit is there of circumcision? And Paul answered by saying, much every way.
chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. This word of God was given to the Jew. The Jew was given a trust here, a stewardship of the word of God, and he fulfilled this trust. He kept the word of God intact in its written form. He passed it down so that it is available to any who wants it. It's available to any who want to read it or apply it to themselves. The Jew has kept the word of God in the sense